I saw a car accident. It was early evening during the school holidays, and I was making my way to a friend's house. I think a car pulled out of a side road, and it hit a car driving along the road, and I saw it as I was walking down. No one was badly hurt, but both drivers were shaken up a bit, as you might imagine. The police were called, and I was asked by an officer what had happened. To be honest, I'm not really sure what happened. I wasn't really paying much attention to the cars and what they were doing. My head was full of games. It was full of the rope swing we were going to make down in the park. But when I said that I wasn't really sure what I had seen, the officer told me very sternly that I was a witness, and I must try to remember what I had seen as best as I could. There was obviously some dispute between the drivers as to what had actually happened, and my testimony might be vital. I did my best, but I wasn't a very good witness. My story was a bit vague. It lacked conviction. Eventually, the officer realized I wasn't going to be very much help. He made a few notes, but I was allowed to go on my way. I had been a witness to an event. But because I wasn't paying much attention, the important details had been lost. The whole purpose of witnessing something is to give as good an account as you can to what you have experienced. Now, the readings that we've just heard today from the book of Acts and from our gospel are both about witness. An event has been seen, or rather, it has been experienced. And it changed the lives of those who experienced it forever. But instead of the story being about an unfortunate but relatively common event seen by a daydreaming boy, the event is one that changed the history of the world forever. The witness provided by those who experienced that event would not only change the world, but would start a chain event of witness that carries on to this very day. 2,000 years later. And the importance of that witness cannot be understated. What do I mean by this? The gospel reading that we've just heard is both wonderful and unsettling. Try to imagine, if you can, what it was like for the disciples 2,000 years ago. Place yourself there with them in the upper room. Over the past few days, you have seen some unbelievable things. The man that you thought would be the salvation of Israel has died on a Roman cross. And as he dies, the sun has gone dark. The ground has shaken. The curtain in the temple, which hides the most holy of holy spaces, has been torn from top to bottom. And then 2 days later, the body of your friend has disappeared from the tomb, and no one seems to know what is happening. And then others among your group start to say that they've seen Jesus. But this is impossible. You saw him die. And then here you are, gathered in a locked room, worried about what is going to happen to you. And then there he is, standing among you, right beside you. And it's really him. It's not a spirit or a ghost. Here he is with the wounds of the crucifixion in his hands and his feet. And he even takes and eats a piece of fish. Imagine that you are there among those disciples. How do you even begin to make sense of all that is going on? But Jesus talks to you, and he reminds you of all of the teaching about the Messiah, the things that you learnt as a child in the Psalms and in the stories and the readings from Moses. He teaches you about all the things that you knew in the back of your mind, that actually the Messiah was destined to suffer and to die and to rise again on the third day. And you think, well, of course, I knew that that's what the prophets would said was going to happen. But I didn't think that that was literally what was going to happen. How can someone rise from the dead? But more importantly than that, Jesus says that I am a witness of these incredible events, and I have to give a testimony to what I've seen. But how can I tell if I don't really understand what it is that I've experienced? Let's think about that reading that Steve read for us. When Peter stood up and spoke to the people of Jerusalem, those people that Peter was talking to had also seen something remarkable. They'd just seen Peter heal a crippled man. And perhaps people didn't believe their eyes. But Peter speaks up and tells them that the disciples have seen greater things than this. He tells them all about what Jesus did, about how he died and rose again, and about how those disciples have been told to witness to those events and to give as good account as they can to what they've experienced. Maybe Peter and the others didn't really understand everything that they had experienced, but they were determined to give as good an account as they could. Today, the church shares that same mission. We are asked by Jesus to be witnesses of our experience of him in our lives. Now, we probably haven't physically seen Jesus. We haven't been shown his wounds. We haven't seen him eat some fish in our presence. But we have witnessed all of these events by reading the Bible, by hearing the Bible read in our church. We have come to gain a sense of conviction in our own lives that these stories are true, that Jesus is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, that he did die, he was raised from the dead to free us from sin and death. Now, we might not really understand what all of that means in the sense of a professor of theology or something. We might be a little bit hazy on the details, but we are called to witness to it nonetheless. And there have been times sometimes when I'm asked hard questions about my faith. People ask me difficult things, and sometimes I feel like that little boy again. Am I really sure about what I've experienced? Am I being a good witness? But then I remember something. There is one thing that the disciples had to their advantage, and that is their common experience. They might not have entirely understood what had happened over those few days, but they could help each other with the details. So we are all called to be witnesses, but we are not alone. That's why we have a church. That's why we have each other. We are collectively called to give testimony to the experience of the church. Every Christian today, every Christian that has ever been. An experience that says that because Jesus died and rose for the sake of the whole world, nothing can ever be the same again. And so we witness. We witness through our own acts of service to our communities. We witness by our prayers. We witness by sharing the love that we have in Jesus Christ. And we witness by telling our own stories of how we have faith. However vague those stories might be, we tell them so that others might begin to get their own experience and to form their own witness. Imagine that you are among those first disciples. 2,000 years ago, Jesus says to you, "You are witnesses of these things." What might we do to help us in this? Well, in this year ahead, we're going to think a bit about how we might be better witnesses. How might we make our stories be a little bit more coherent? How might we learn to tell our stories a little bit better? We're going to be thinking about what our benefice does. It's a project we're going to be doing called Lights On. And each church is going to take a different role, a slightly different role, to help each other do this. At St. George's, we're going to think a bit about how we teach the faith. And in PJ's, we're going to think a little bit about how we nurture our spirituality. And each church is going to help the other in that. So each church becomes a center of excellence to strengthen what the other church does. And this way, together, we learn about our faith. We learn about our stories. We develop our prayer life and our spiritual life so that we can be better witnesses of the faith that has been handed on to us. And if you want to be part of this, let me know. Come, walk with us and be a witness to your faith. Amen.